Jesus approaches the tomb where Lazarus, his friend, has been buried. As he walks up to that stone, he tells the caretakers of the gravesite, roll the stone away.
This is Straight Talk.
Thank you so much for tuning into Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. Today, we have a great program for you. We're in a series called Rewrite, When God Rewrites Your Story. And today's message is called When You Think It's Over. And Pastor Mark, this is the second half. And really, this is for people who have counted out their circumstances. They think that there's no more hope, and God is interjecting. He's rewriting their story. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I run into a lot of people that have been battling. They feel like they've lost. They lose that energy to fight. They just kind of lay down their gloves, and they feel like, okay, it's just over. I'm waiting for the knockout. And I'm speaking to some of you like that today. This story is about that. It's about a dark moment where Jesus steps in. And so there's a struggle here. And I want to remind you that the struggle is necessary for success in the next season. Mm. Struggle is the soul fertilizer. Mm. Yeah, it can help. And this story reminds us that buried does not mean beaten. Mm. And some of you feel like it's over. Some of you right now, I'm talking to someone that you feel like your life has no significance. I may even be talking to someone right now that you've thought within the last 48 hours of taking your own life because you feel like I have nothing to live for, nothing matters anymore, and you're considering suicide. I want to remind you, I just want to speak to you right now via the radio, podcast, internet, however you're listening to this, that God has a purpose and a plan for you, that you may be under the deception right now that it's all over and it doesn't matter. But I want to speak into your life and say that it does. You do have a purpose. God does know your story. God does love you, and you need to listen to this part of the message today.
Mm. This is the second half of When You Think It's Over, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Let's get right into that word.
I got home from a trip, and I walked in my living room, and I expected my boys to be glued to the television like they are at every Super Bowl, and I walked in, and the television was blaring, and they weren't there. I said, hey, boys, the Super Bowl's on. They said, oh, yeah, it's a blowout. It's over. It's boring. I said, all right. I kept putting my things away. I said, hey, boys, it's getting a little better. Suddenly, everybody was in that living room. And you know the story how the Patriots, I wasn't a big fan of Brady, but when he was that low, I wanted him to win. It's like, hey, that's a resurrection. And they came back from a 25-point deficit. If they would have won before by a lead, it would have been a Super Bowl. But when it's down over almost unrecoverable, then it's a great story. Listen, some of you in your lives, God has allowed adversity in your life. God has allowed it to get worse when you expected it to get better. God has allowed you to sink lower when you wanted a line to rescue you right away. God has allowed you to struggle when you expected, hey, God, get me out of this now. And I believe that sometimes God allows us to go through the struggle and the difficulty and the pain because he has a purpose in the pain. We don't want it. We don't like it. We don't want to be there. But there's a purpose and a plan in the difficulty that God allows. I heard of a grandfather that was taking his little grandson through a walk in the park. And the five-year-old was, like most five-year-olds, looking around the bushes, and he saw a cocoon that was moving around. And he said, Grandpa, look, what is it? The grandpa leaned down, he looked at it for a while, and he said, I think that is a butterfly trying to break out of its cocoon. And so both grandfather and grandson stared at it for a while, and they saw that they saw it moving and scratching in a little hole, and it was breaking, and they saw the struggle, and the little grandson said, Dad, let me help it. And the grandfather said, no, don't touch it. Why? Let me break it open for him. He said, no, don't touch it. And then he explained to the grandson, you see, it's in the battle, in the struggle, that this butterfly is gaining strength to be able to fly. In fact, as a butterfly breaks its way through that little cocoon, the hole, as it pushes its way through, so that when it's finally out, its wings will work and it can fly. If you open up the cocoon and don't let it struggle, then that butterfly's wings will be useless. It will never be able to fly. It's in the struggle that it gains its strength. It's in the struggle that it prepares for the next season. And so you have to let the struggle happen, because it's in the struggle that success for the next season comes. Some of you are in the struggle right now. You're battling and fighting and trying to make it through, and you're saying, God, why don't you rescue me and take me out of this struggle? And God is allowing you to struggle. He's letting you fight a little bit. He's watching you. Never interpret adversity as abandonment. Just because you're going through a hard time doesn't mean that God doesn't care. Just because you're struggling right now doesn't mean that God has abandoned you, that he's disconnected, that he doesn't care, that you've been lost in the multitude of crowd of things. God allows the struggle, because in the struggle, there is a power. There is the faithfulness of God. There's something happening to your soul in the struggle. I believe that God allowed Mary and Martha to go through the battle and difficulty and pain of losing their brother, not because Jesus did not care, but because there was something that was being revealed to them in the struggle and the pain of their battle. It was in the middle of that tragedy that Jesus said to Martha these powerful words. She said, if you would have been here, it would be different. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Something powerful. It's a light bulb moment, a revelation moment that left Mary and Martha scratching their head, trying to understand exactly what Jesus was saying. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus did something interesting. He said, I want to see the body. Show me Lazarus. So they took him to the funeral place. There were people that were mourning and crying and weeping. Relatives had gathered around. Why? Because when something dies, it affects a lot of people. There's a loss that happens, a mourning that occurs. There are people in this auditorium today, right now, that are still mourning. You're mourning the loss of a relationship, the loss of a dream, the loss of hope, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a son or daughter that no longer talks to you, the loss of the ability to love again because you've given up on it. Some of you are mourning the loss of your future. You look into the future and it's just bleak to you. There's no hope, there's no energy, there's no life, there's no vision of what it could be. Something has died. And I believe that God wants to resurrect, wants to reveal resurrection power today in some lives that are here. The Bible says that Jesus made his way to the gravesite, and in those days they would not dig a hole 6 feet deep and put someone in the ground. They would actually put someone inside of a cave, and they would roll a stone over it, and they would wrap the body up and put incense over it, and they would keep the body from wild animals and so forth and protect the body that way. So Jesus made his way down to the funeral procession, and people were wailing and mourning and crying. And I love the fact that although Jesus knew the outcome of this story, Jesus had the power to change the circumstances. I love what I see in these verses. In verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. And I love what it says in verse 35. This is the shortest verse in all the Bible, but one of the most powerful and profound verses in all the Bible. Some of you think you cannot learn a Bible verse in your life, but this is a Bible verse I'm going to teach you right now. Ready? Two words. Jesus wept. Can you say it? Jesus wept. Wow, you just learned a Bible verse. The shortest verse in all the Bible. Jesus wept. When I was a kid, they would have me say Bible verses, you know, in Sunday school, they'd say, anybody know a Bible verse? Yeah, me. Which one? Jesus wept. I love that. Got me out of a lot of stuff. Jesus wept. Now you know a Bible verse. I run into men sometimes and say, Pastor, my memory's not that good. I'm just not good at memorizing. But yet I can ask them, what was the score of the Super Bowl in 1959? And they'll spout it out really fast. They know all of it. The reason I love this verse is not just because I see Jesus weeping, but why he's weeping. The fact that Jesus saw the sisters crying and looked at the crowd was crying, it troubled him deeply. It moved him in his spirit. Why? He knew the outcome of the story. God knows the outcome of your life. He knows that circumstances will be turned around. But when God sees the pain, the hurt, the difficulty, the mourning and grief, he empathizes with them. What it tells me is here is a God that deeply cares. So never underestimate or never confuse adversity with abandonment. The God of the universe, the God that's had no beginning and will have no end, the God who is called El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim, the God who's referred to as the Almighty, this God who you and I cannot approach in our humanity, who our flesh would be consumed if we came to him just in our mortality, this amazing, omnipotent, omniscient, sovereign God of the universe, he knows you. He knows you by name. He knows your story, your birth, your social security number, even fake social security numbers. He knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's going through your mind, what you've struggled with, your aspirations, your dreams, the condition of your soul, the prayers that you've prayed and the prayers that you haven't prayed and you should have prayed. He knows those. He's tracked you. He loves you. He understands you. He knows you better than anybody on earth would know you. God, in your adversity, has not abandoned you. God cares about you. It's an amazing, amazing lesson, principle that God of the universe would care for you and I.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled When You Think It's Over, which is from our current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John chapter 9. Pastor Mark's message, When You Think It's Over.
I want you to understand that delay does not mean distance, adversity does not mean abandonment, and lastly, I want you to know that buried does not mean beaten. In verse 39, Jesus approaches the tomb where Lazarus, his friend, has been buried. As he walks up to that stone, he tells the caretakers of the gravesite, roll the stone away. Martha says, but Lord, he's been dead. By this time, there'll be a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Some scholars have commentated that the reason that Jesus showed up 4 days later was that there was a Jewish superstition that kind of believed that the soul and the spirit would linger around the dead body for 3 days, trying to get back in the body. But after 4 days, they knew for sure. Done, over, decayed. No way that there would be resurrection. In other words, Jesus waited till it was hopeless. He waited until there was no human possibility that it could be resurrected again. That this was not even a faint possibility, not even a superstitious possibility that there could be a resurrection that happened. As they rolled back the stone, Martha was, oh no, why do we have to be exposed to this again? Sometimes right before a breakthrough moment, we have to be exposed to how bad it really is. Hello? Listen, sometimes before resurrection, there's got to be bad odor. we have to realize this is really, really dead. No one ever comes to God and their life ever turns around when they think things are going well. There always has to be an exposure to the decay, how bad it really is, before we realize how much we need the supernatural power of God. No one ever turns around that thinks everything is going well. I don't call out to God. I don't believe for God. I don't expect resurrection power if I don't need resurrection power. I have to smell the odor of decay. I have to know how bad it is. I have to sense how dead I am before I really reach out for the supernatural resurrection power of God. As they rolled back the stone, people kind of pulled away. Jesus looks to the opening of the cave and he points to the Father and he raises his voice and he prays out loud. He prays so people can hear them. You know, sometimes you have to pray in a way, you know, God is hearing you, but other people need to hear you as well. How about it? Sometimes you need to pray out loud because other people around you need to know what you're praying. And it's not for God to hear. How many of you know God can hear the prayer in your head? Some people ask me sometimes, hey, if I pray in my head, does God hear me? Hello, yeah, he hears you. Come on now. If I whisper, can he hear me? Of course he can. If I pray in Spanish, can he hear me? Yeah, just... If I pray with a Michoacan accent, can he? Yeah. All. He can hear it all, understand it all. But sometimes we need to pray out loud just so other people know. Yeah. They're praying. Yeah. This is God who's doing this. Yeah. And sometimes we pray out loud so that the faith of others can be built, so that people can understand that we're calling out to a God that hears our prayer. And then Jesus says to Mary and Martha, he looks back and said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Today in this auditorium, there are things that have died. You've been living with that which has died. And you never thought it could be resurrected. Some of you have spiritual lives that at one time were vibrant, healthy, full of vision and dream. That died a long time ago. And you've been living in the desert for a long, long time. It's over. It's never going to change. Some of you are mourning a loss in your life that's left you empty, defeated, hurting. It's dead. It's gone. But sometimes something has to die before it's resurrected. Jesus said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot birth forth fruit. Some of you, the worst part of your life has been the best thing that could ever happen to you. Because you had to die to something in order to realize that God wants to resurrect you to something else. This was the worst moment in Mary and Martha's life. This was a time of tragedy, a time of mourning, a time of really deep pain inside of their heart and soul. And Jesus says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. And then Jesus stands there. People are looking at him. Little kids are looking, trying to get a look at the dead guy inside of the grave. And then Jesus raises his voice, it says, and with a loud voice, not a timid voice, not a whisper, but in a loud voice, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. What is Jesus doing? He's speaking to the dead. He's speaking to that which is in the grave but needs to be out of the grave. He's speaking to that which has died and needs to be resurrected. He's speaking to that which has no hope and is bringing hope again. He's speaking into that that has not breathed, and he's saying, now you will breathe again. He's speaking to that that was not and saying, now it will be. He's speaking to the dead, and he says, now you will no longer be dead. Something happens in the supernatural realm. There's a rumbling inside. Heaven gasps. The angels stand still. There's commotion inside. People don't know what's happening. And then suddenly, they see a ragged, limping, mummy-like guy wrapped in the clothes of the dead, but standing in the place of the living. Hey, I'm about to call into resurrection some things that are still wrapped in the clothes of the dead. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes, let them go. You know, when you're resurrected, God resurrects stuff, it's still dressed in the clothes of the dead. But it belongs in the land of the living. God is about to resurrect some people and some things, and sometimes he's got to bring spiritual healing to your life, and you need to take off that hospital gown. I know you're still wearing it, but you don't need it anymore. You need to walk past the hospital gown. God needs to take off some prison clothes and says, you know, that's the old you. You're being resurrected to a new, brand new who you are in God. Some of you need to take off the clothes of defeat and now stand in the clothes of victory. Some of you need to take off the clothes of the old and put on the clothes of the new. Some of you need to take off your party clothes. Come on, you've been partying so long. You're partied out. Pastor, but I'm having so much fun. You don't look like it. You do not look like you're having fun when you wake up on Saturday morning with the hangover and like one more party that I thought was going to make me happy. Now I just have a headache and a heartache and hopefully not an STD. Come on now, we can keep it real, can't we? Some of you needed to take off that party clothes and say, you know, I'm done with that. There's a new life in me. There's a new resurrection in me. I am ready to be resurrected to a new life in Jesus Christ. Off with the old, on with the new. That's the new life in Jesus. And the Bible says that Lazarus came out of the grave. That which was dead came to life. I believe Lazarus was different than he was when he died. I believe there was a different kind of Lazarus now. He had been dead. He had tasted death. He had experienced death. Now there's a Lazarus with a story to tell. Now there's a Lazarus that believes God like never before. Oh, before he believed, but now he believes like never before. Why? He's been dead and now he's alive. As we close our time together, I felt like I needed to preach this message today. And I sense that some of you walked in here and you're mourning the death of something. Some of you have been living with the loss of something for some time. Some of it's internal. It died a long time ago. You've been trying to resurrect it. Look for it. But it's not there. I believe that the voice of God is speaking to some. I think that God is saying to some, come out of the cave. Come out. It's not where you belong anymore. I'm speaking resurrection power into that which has been dead. Speak it into your dream, into your future, into your vision, into your marriage, into your destiny, into your spiritual life. The one that brings death to life is the power of the living Jesus.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the second half of his message called When You Think It's Over. It's from his current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. This concludes our series. Join us again for the next series. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.